This is a positivity podcast. We will discuss ships of all shapes and sizes. From the pure to the problematic, no ship is off limits. Every ship discussed in this podcast is a work of fiction. It's not real, so therefore, it doesn't really matter. If you don't like the OTP we discuss in this episode, why don't you go outside, take a walk, and don't listen to this episode. We'll see you next time. Welcome back to the One True Podcast, a podcast where we talk about OTPs, shipping, one true pairings, and all of that great stuff. We're going to talk about the number one volleyball boys, and I've got a very special guest here today to talk about them. So first and foremost, who are you, my special guest? What would you like to be called on this show?
Shay is fine.
Hey, hey, Shay. So who are we talking about today? It rhymes.
Today we're talking about Iwa Oi, my OTP. Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm shocked that you haven't had an episode for them.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I don't really roll in the Iwa Oi circles, so.
That's fair.
I don't really know a lot of people who, you know, super ship them. They're a great flavor, though.
They are.
I love their flavor so much. So for those of us living under a rock, Shay, why don't you tell us, who are Iwazumi and Oikawa?
Well, Iwazumi Hajime and Oikawa Toru are two third-year volleyball players at Alba Josai High School, and they are one of the main rivals of Kurasuno, the protagonist team from Haikyuu. And Oikawa is the setter and captain for his team, and Iwazumi is his ace slash spiker. And they've been childhood best friends since forever. They went to the same middle school, same high school. And overall, they just have like a really fun dynamic. You know, Oikawa's kind of out there and, you know, he's pretty popular. And then Iwazumi's the one who kind of wrangles him in and, you know, gets him to do his captain duties.
He keeps him in check.
Exactly.
So what was the moment when you first started shipping these two?
Well, the first time I watched Haikyuu was my very first anime. I like started watching it kind of by accident, but I've been playing volleyball for a really long time, and so it was kind of like my introduction to anime. And so the first time I watched it through, I didn't really like ship anybody. I just kind of enjoyed the show and enjoyed watching it. But then I decided that I was going to make a TikTok account, and you know, when you are exposed,
famous last words,
and when you are exposed to, you know, the fandom, it ropes you in. And there was just a lot of Iwa Oi content. You know, it is the most popular ship, at least on AO3, and as far as I guess my For You page, there was a lot of Iwa Oi content, so it was easy to get kind of dragged into it. And I don't know if there was like a really defining moment as far as like when I liked the ship, but when they became my like OTP was after I read this fic. It's called Healing the Broken. I don't remember the name of the author, but it was like a boxer slash band AU set in New York, and I don't know what it was, but just something about the story, it was just so good that like it was the fic that got me into reading fan fiction, and it was also the fic that got me into Iwa Oi. So, yeah. I mean, if you haven't read it, I know it's like not something that, you know, is super underground, but I don't hear people talk about it enough. So it's definitely a good one.
Hell yeah. If you find the link, I'll put it in the fic recs that we'll do a little bit later. Awesome. Ooh, so that's really cool that you initially weren't into the shipping aspect of it, but because of your involvement in fandom, that really opened your third eye. So on that rewatch though, were there any moments when you were watching the anime again that you were like, oh crap, how didn't I see this as like being a potential for like OTP fodder?
yes. So my like probably one of my favorite Iwa Oi moments, and it's like the iconic Iwa Oi moment as well, is, you know, the night before Kurasuno and Alba Josai play, Oikawa gets the tape of Kurasuno's game from that day, and he's like putting it in his bag, and Oikawa and Iwazumi are like in the change room or whatever in the club room, And Wise Me is like, oh, like, make sure you go to sleep on time, or whatever the actual line is. And Oikawa was like, Yu-chan, are you my mom? And then, like, Wise Me just gets so, like, flustered and upset over that, and it's really funny. But it was just kind of like that one iconic moment between them where I was like, you know, this dynamic, it's unmatched, in my opinion.
Too true. Let's actually talk about that dynamic. So I've had a couple episodes before about, you know, childhood friends to lovers, which is a very popular trope within fan fiction and media as a whole. Why do you think people really are drawn towards those narratives?
Well, I think that, like, for a lot of people, they just can, like, find comfort in, like, friends to lovers, and, like, you already kind of have that, like, connection with somebody. I mean, obviously, you have to like them on some level if you're going to be friends with them. But just, like, having somebody to fall back on as, like, a friend, but also to get, you know, deep, or, like, delve a little bit deeper there and, you know, have that relationship is really important. But one thing that I think that sets Iwaoi apart from other friends to lovers like Tsukiyama or something like that is the fact that they have kind of like a duality where, because their personalities contrast so much, and, you know, Okawa is this bubbly personality and he was like the really grounding one, I think that they can also play the role of enemies to lovers, strangers to lovers, all of those other tropes that, you know, the fandom likes to latch onto. They can play those really well when put in certain situations or different AUs. And so I think that for Iwaoi, part of what makes them so popular is that there's something for everybody. Like, they're, whether you're, you know, a diehard friends to lovers fan, or you love that, like, spicy enemies to lovers, there's always something for you with Iwaoi. And so I think that, yeah, that's why it's so popular.
You gotta love those, like, opposites attract ships. And I think that's actually pretty interesting about their relationship, how, yeah, even though Iwa and Oikawa are very talented in their own right, they are pretty, like, opposites. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that they both share, like, common goals, and they're both very passionate about what they want to do. And, you know, they want to put their best foot forward. But I think that they both have very different ways of going about doing that. And so I think that that definitely shows in the anime, in the manga as well, and just, like, where they end up in life. I don't want to, like, say too much about that. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about spoilers.
You are totally allowed to talk about spoilers here. Like, if you want to talk about it, because that is also great too. Like,
yeah, but just, like, they both are so passionate about what they want to do, but I think that they both have, you know, their own self-doubt, and they're very similar in that aspect, and it kind of drives them into different directions. Like, you know, Oikawa still pursues volleyball, and Iwaizumi decides to pursue, you know, athletic training and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, they both become very successful people at the end of the manga, but the way that they kind of go about going for their dreams is very different. And so I think that when the fandom kind of latches onto that, whether, you know, you're creating art or fanfic or just any fan media, I guess, is that creates a really good dynamic between the two, because, you know, it can be a cause of conflict or it can be something that brings them together. And so, you know, it adds a little bit of flavor there that I think is a healthy amount of flavor.
Hell yeah. No, I definitely agree. And, you know, I think you're really onto something with how they do, like, match each other in that way, but it doesn't ever really feel stale, you know? And they are so versatile, you can plop them into any AU or anything you like, which is pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So when you are in the mood to, like, read any Iwaoi, do you tend to gravitate more towards Oikawa's perspective or Iwaizumi's perspective?
See, that's a good question, because I think that I prefer Iwaizumi's perspective because I resonate more with his character. But I feel that Oikawa's perspective is a lot more popular for people to portray, because I feel like he's just a little bit more of, like, a popular character, or you can, like, take him in so many different directions. And I think that Iwaizumi is a little bit more grounded than him, so people are a little afraid to stray too far from like his true core like personality, whereas Loikawa is a little bit more, you know, flighty. You can kind of change him this way or that to like suit your fan needs, whatever word you want to use for that.
I think everybody's just simping for Iwa, so we just want to write like him being hot.
That's
so
fair. I don't blame you. Like, no, that's definitely true. But yeah, I think I prefer to read from Iwa's perspective, but I think that a lot of the fandom writes, or yeah, I guess it's fic, writes Oikawa's perspective, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love hearing both sides.
Hell yeah. So what is your kind of favorite thing you love that these authors do when they write Iwa?
Yes. So, okay. One of the things that I love most about like the Iwa perspective on fics is that a lot of the time you get pining Iwa. And in a lot of fics, the thing that I've kind of noticed is that we don't always get pining Iwa. Like, a lot of the times it's pining Oikawa and, you know, he's chasing after Iwa and Iwa's kind of being like, oh, I don't know. Or, like, he's hiding his feelings. Whereas, like, you know, if you get that kind of inner monologue from Iwa, you get a little bit of a better insight on how he's feeling. And I think that that's something that we don't necessarily get shown too much, because Oikawa is definitely the more, like, verbal of the two, so he would definitely be somebody to voice his feelings or opinions more than I think Iwaizumi would. That's just my own personal take on that. Whereas, you know, if you are already sitting in Iwa's perspective, then you kind of get to hear that we wouldn't necessarily hear if we were listening from Oikawa's point of view.
Very, very cool. So we are going to get into a little bit of spoiler territory, just letting people know right now. So since Haikyuu is over, right? The manga is over. What is something you wish Furudate would give us in like maybe one of those light novels or like, you know, post-canon things? Because Furudate likes to give us crumbs sometimes. What would be like your ideal Iwa Oi crumb, you know, other than them like actually being together?
Well, yeah, I think that I really wish that, you know, at the Olympics, they had, like, some sort of interaction between, you know, Iwaizumi, Japan's, like, personal trainer, physical trainer, athletic trainer. That's the word I'm looking
27.
For. 27. Yes, exactly. How did I forget? No, I wish that we had an interaction between him and Oikawa, who plays for Team Argentina. And I think that it would just kind of be really funny because they've, you know, always been on the same team. And so being rivals, I think that, like, I already know between their, like, banter and their personalities, like, they would be making fun of each other or, like, trying to psych each other out and just, like, saying something to kind of rile up the other team. And so I really wish that, like, we kind of got that interaction of, you know, what they're gonna say to try and psych each other out, and they're no longer on the same team, so, you know, somebody's gotta give.
Literally, somebody's gotta give. Who's gonna make the other one cry?
Exactly, and why would it be Oikawa?
I was about to say! Oh my god!
Exactly.
Oikawa's just so bitchy, he just makes Iwa go like, how dare you? And it's like single tear! And then it's like, no, Iwa-chan.
Yeah, no. It would definitely be Oikawa who folds first.
My god, that's so funny. Oh man. So speaking of Oikawa, he is, you know, pretty well liked, as we said, amongst in the fandom, but why do you think that people want him to be with Iwa the most, you know, as it pertains to the fact that, yeah, Iwa Oi is the most popular ship on AO3?
Yeah, I honestly think that it just kind of comes back to them being able to fit so many different tropes, or I don't know if tropes is the right word, but being able to fit so many different ideas. And so, you know, you can always fall back on them being able to, you know, rely on one another. They've kind of shown that throughout their journey as friends together. And so it's like, you know, you can put them through hell and back, and, you know, we still kind of have that faith that, like, everything is going to be fine, because everything has been fine, and you know, they're always going to be friends. And so, you know, I think that even in like a super angsty fic or, you know, an enemies to lovers fic, it's like, you know, you still feel like you can read that, because then, you know, you can come back to actual canon and still be like reassured that everything is perfectly fine, because, you know, they're still best friends and all of that. But I think that it's just knowing that they can depend on each other and knowing that you can depend on them to depend on each other, that, you know, makes them being so fluid in like all of the other aspects of fanon.
That's really cool. And yeah, like you make a great point how even if, you know, Iwa Oi is an endgame, I can't really see any story with Oikawa or with Iwa in it where the other one isn't also present in some aspect. Would you agree?
Exactly. It's like, I love like multi-shipping. Like, I'm not somebody who's like held down by like, you know, Iwa Oi is the only ship that can ever exist. Like, no, I'm not like that. God. So, you know, it's like, even if, you know, Oikawa or Waizumi are being shipped with a completely different character, you still like, there's still room for that like Iwa Oi friendship, you know, there will always be room for that friendship. And so I think that even just like that friendship connection is so important. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be a relationship. Obviously, you know, we like a little bit of, you know, fluff and all of that, but, you know, it doesn't even have to be. They just have that connection, and, you know, that can be enough for people.
And that's why he was number one.
Exactly.
So as I always say, we love the canon. The canon is so great, but sometimes we crave a little something extra. So Shay, have you created anything extra for your OTP?
I have and I haven't. So I have actually written and planned out a fanfic for Iwa Oi. It has not yet, like when we're recording this, been posted, but by the time that this episode is out, there will definitely be some content out for it. But it is a fantasy slash magic AU, I guess. I think the best way to describe it is if you read any of the like Shadowhunters verse AU, like that would be the best way to describe it. But so Waizumi and Oikawa are both demon hunters, as well as the third gym squad, so Bokuto, Akashi, Kuro, and Suki. And I don't want to disclose like too much, but basically Oikawa has to kind of form alliances with Sugawara Kaoshi, who is the prince of hell, to try and prevent Suga's brother Kageyama from creating this like uprising and bringing like hell to earth. So yeah, that is my kind of fic that's going on. I have also written one that is posted right now, and I update it weekly. But it is a Boku Aka fic with like a side pairing of Iwa Oi, and I have a like prequel planned for Iwa Oi, based in that same like AU verse. So that will be coming about eventually, but probably not in time for the air. Yeah, probably not in time for the air of this episode.
Oh man, that's so cool though. What inspired you to write that kind of AU?
I think that like I grew up, you know, reading the Mortal Instruments and all of that kind of stuff. And so I just really like loved the idea of that kind of like world. And so I thought that, you know, there are so many different characters in Haikyuu and so many different pairings and ways that they can be connected, that I really wanted to have that kind of divide. So, you know, there'll be vampires, there'll be werewolves, there will be warlocks and all of that kind of fun stuff. And so just like being able to show the different dynamics between a bunch of different characters while also having like this world building and this like political rivalry, I think would be really fun. And I also really wanted to include the like dynamic between Oikawa and Kageyama, as well as Oikawa and Suga, but while still having, you know, Oikawa be this, you know, morally ambiguous person, and there's a Waizumi who's, you know, got his steadfast morals. And so there's a lot of interesting kind of moral questioning that will be happening. So I thought that they were a really good pairing for that.
We love a lawful good Iwazumi.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. All right, so now we're going to recommend some Iwaoi fics that other people have written. We mentioned one fic earlier in the podcast, which will be linked in the description, but are there any others?
There sure are. So the first one that I have to rec is called I Sure Hope the Sun Got Rhythm, Cause He Gonna Dance When That Music Hit Him. This one is like a staple Iwaoi fic. If you haven't read it, please go do so immediately. It is 28,000 words. It's rated M. And it is a dancer AU where Oikawa is like the dance academy's poster boy and Iwaizumi is a street dancer. And so there's a lot of like interesting, you know, interaction between that. There's also some like other characters in there as well, but I really love this fic and I know that I don't think there's a single person that has read this fic that didn't like it. Like, I'm genuinely being serious.
Oh my god.
And then the next one is You're Looking Like You Fell in Love Tonight, and it is 34,000 words, rated T, and it is a Iwaoi fake dating college AU. This fic was, like, made for me. I'm a sucker for college AUs and fake dating AUs, so it was, like, the perfect mix of both of those. But basically, Oikawa and Iwaizumi are roommates with Matsukawa and Hanamaki. I don't remember who's roommates with who, but they end up owing each other a bunch of favors. So Oikawa needs a fake date, and so Iwaizumi is paying his favor to his roommate and being Oikawa's fake date. And it's super cute, but I just like love how, you know, Matsuhana is kind of staring at Iwaoi from a distance like, oh god, the monster we've created. And it's really funny.
That sounds amazing.
The next one is my absolute favorite fic of all time, and it is called The Courtship Ritual of the Hercules Beetle. This one is an Iwaoi staple.
I've heard this fic. Okay, I did like a QRT like thing that I do sometimes where people had to like share their fanfic that they read the most, and I shit you not, I probably got this one like at least 25 times. Yes. I was like, what the fuck is up with this
Rightfully
fan fiction?
Rightfully so. Like,
everybody is reading it. What's it about?
So it is 66,000 words, rated M, and it is about, so it takes place in like the post-time skip era, but instead of Oikawa being the professional volleyball player, Oikawa is a professor and Iwaizumi is the captain of the Japan Nationals team. And so something happened like a few years in the past where, you know, they drifted apart and then an event happens that kind of brings them together. And so it's just the story of like them coming back together and finding each other again. And it's so good. And it's so beautifully written too. Like if you haven't read it, which like if you're an Iwaoi shipper, you definitely have. And if you haven't, please go read it like right now. Like stop, like finish the podcast and then.
What's the deal with the beetle?
So Oikawa is, oh gosh, I'm like blanking on the scientific word for like what he actually teaches, but he is like a super nerd about like bugs and things like that. And so like that's why, is like that's what he is like a professor for. But I don't remember the like scientific name of like the study of bugs. But yeah, so that's where the like beetle comes in. But it's like, it's just like vaguely, it's kind of like a metaphor.
I think
that that's the best way. It is.
I love that. Yes. Sorry.
You know, really bringing back the Fault in Our Stars.
Oh no. Oh, that's so funny. Oh my god.
That
yeah.
Was many years in the past.
All right. Oh man. Yeah, definitely will be linked. So you have no excuse. Now I got to go read this fan fiction, Iwaoi Nation.
Okay. And then the next one is How to Let Your Planets Align. It's 15,000 words, rated T. And this one is described by the author, as a soft apocalypse AU.
Okay.
So the best way that I can describe it is that, you know, the world is set to end on this day, because a meteor is about to hit Earth. And so Oikawa and Oizumi decide that they're going to, like, spend their, like, last day together. And I don't read, like, angst with, like, a sad ending. So, like, I promise that it's not, you're not going to cry or anything like that. But it's just really cute and wholesome. And, you know, they just want to, like, spend their last moments together. And so they, like, get up to a bunch of different shenanigans. And I think that it's really cute. And then the next one is called Here Comes Your Man, and it's part of, like, the Brunch Friends, like, series. So this is just the first one, but it is doctor or, like, surgeon Iwaizumi, and Oikawa is a lawyer, and it's basically set through the, like, perspective of Suga, who is Iwaizumi's co-worker, and so he's, like, trying to figure out who, like, Mrs. Iwaizumi is, and it ends up being Oikawa, but it's pretty funny to kind of see him try and figure out Iwaizumi through his perspective and the, like, outside look on Iwaoi. And then the last one is not, like, Iwaoi-centric, but it is the, like, Haikyuu at Hogwarts entire series by Kill the Spare, and it's just so well written. I love Harry Potter. I grew up with Harry Potter, so, you know, it's the AU that was built for me. And so they basically go through and recreate all of the Harry Potter stories one at a time. So this is an ongoing series, but they're just finished the fourth book. But it has basically all of the main pairs in it, and it's really good. And the plot is just so well developed, where, you know, it follows the same structure, but it's completely different than the original Harry Potter series. So I just really love it.
Very, very cool. Now, I must admit, I'm a little surprised we got through this Iwaoi review and you didn't bring up The Last King.
Okay, funny story.
Oh my God, I'm ready.
I haven't read it yet.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I actually, so... Mars, who you had on the Saku Atsu episode, they inspired me to create a, like, fan fiction spreadsheet. So I, like,
ooh,
have,
we,
yes,
love the,
we love the spreadsheets. So I have a spreadsheet of everything that I've written, or not written, read. I have a spreadsheet of everything that I've read, as well as things that I want to read. And my, like, to-be-read list is probably two times as long as what I have read. And the number of fan fictions that I've read is not, like, insignificant either. So there's just, there's so much out there. And I'm not, like, a, you know, one ship, like, above all else. Like, I love Iwaoi and they are my favorite, but I still read for so many other ships that I have to find the time. But I will read it. It will happen.
You'll find the time.
Exactly. For Iwaoi, I will make the time.
Ah, amazing. So do you have any Iwaoi artists that you'd like to give a shout out to?
I do. So the first one who, like, I don't want to say is, like, responsible for, like, getting me into Iwaoi, but they, like, definitely inspired me and, like, pushed me in the right direction. But they are... Al's Crystal. I don't know if I'm saying any of these right. I'm sorry. But they are on TikTok and Twitter, and they post some of, like, the best Iwaoi content out there. I love their art, and they always, like, have the funniest videos or, like, the best art ideas. And so they were, like, my first glimpse of Iwaoi, I want to say. And then the next one is Santa Ana Wins on TikTok. I love their art style so much, and they always have the best ideas, and even just, like, their videos in general. Like, if you aren't following them, what are you doing? But they have an amazing art style, and I just love the way that they kind of portray all of the different characters. And then the next one is Emma LaRosa on Instagram. I don't know if they have a Twitter. I'm, like, really bad at using Twitter, but they have really cool illustrations. They also have some, like, pretty cool OCs, but they have some of the best Iwaoi illustrations out there. Like, if you see their work, it kind of reminds you of, like, a retro pop vibe, but some of their artwork is, like, pretty infamous as well. Like, if you ship Iwaoi, you've probably seen some of their art. And yeah, That's my kind of artist rec list.
Hell yeah. All right, so when you are looking for iwaoi content to consume, do you tend to gravitate more towards canon compliant stuff or AU things?
I am a sucker for a good AU. I would say that like probably 90% of what I read is an AU, and it doesn't even have to be like an unrealistic AU, like a fantasy or like anything like that. It can even just be like a college AU or a coffee shop AU, but I think that, you know, the fanon, the like canon version of the story is already like so perfect in my mind that like I don't see a reason for me to like read something that's already set there and like change aspects of it. Whereas I'm happy just like leaving it as it is and then diverging into like a completely different universe and just taking the characters and imagining them in a different situation.
Very, very cool. So what are your favorite AUs to read about?
Okay, well, I mean, I've already touched on this already, but I am a sucker for a good college AU. I think that, like, you know, just based on, like, where I am in life, it's, like, very relatable, you know, and I just think that it's a really good age to put characters into and give them life struggles because like
make them suffer,
as, you know, exactly. And like I don't mean that in like a harsh way, but you know, that's what makes the story interesting. You like, I love, you know, fluffy fics and everything, and like I definitely don't love reading really sad angsty fics, but you know, you gotta have some flavor in there to like keep it interesting. And so it's just a really easy time in life to throw difficulties at people. I also, like, side note, this is not, I have some, like, AUs that I would like to see them in. Do you want to hear those?
Yes, okay. Manifest those, manifest them now!
Yes, okay, so there are also a few AUs that, like, I would love to see Iwaizumi and Oikawa in. One that I plan on writing, the first one that I plan on writing is, like, a magic AU, where Iwaizumi can, like, communicate with, like, plants. Like, he's, like, a really, like, plant magic-y person. And so he, like, gifts Oikawa this succulent because Oikawa sucks at taking care of plants. And basically the succulent, like, gives Iwaizumi, like, intel on, like, Oikawa every time Iwaizumi goes over to his apartment. And he's like,
oh my god,
here are all of these red flags. This guy is crazy. Like, I don't know what you see in him. But Iwaizumi is just, like, so head over heels for Oikawa already that he's just, like, completely ignoring the plant. And he's like, I don't care if he burns his pancakes in the morning. I still want to be with him.
That's so funny.
And then another one that I would love to see would be where they, like, meet at, like, a convention. Because we already know that Iwaizumi is, like, a huge Godzilla nerd, and everybody likes to think that Oikawa is, like, a Star Wars nerd, or, like, he really likes aliens. So I feel like they would both go to a convention and, like, could meet there, and I think that that could be really cute.
That would be so cute. Oh my god, they meet in the elevator!
Yes, exactly. And then another one would be where, like, Oikawa would be like a coach for a like volleyball team in high school, and Iwaizumi is like one of the teachers, and Kiyotani is like the trouble student who, you know, he's playing for the volleyball team but his like grades aren't good, and so they're like trying to like have a conversation back and forth about like, okay, you know, he's got to get his grades up if he's gonna stay on the team, and Oikawa's like, okay, but I need him on the team.
Oh my god.
And then the last one would be where they are both in like grad school, so they both live like on campus, and it's like the middle of the night, and Iwaizumi like gets up to like go use the bathroom or something, and he like finds Oikawa in the middle of the hallway, and he's like, what the hell are you doing up? And Oikawa's like, well, like, you know, we're about to graduate, so thought I would like have one last night of like shenanigans before I like have to be an adult and like grow up. And so they like go on this like midnight adventure and like get up to a bunch of shit. Am I allowed to swear on here?
Yes, you are totally allowed to swear.
Where they get up to a bunch of shit and just like be kids for like the last time before they have to like live their adult lives.
Wow, that sounds amazing. If you write it, I will read it.
As you can tell, I think about these scenarios a lot.
Honestly, don't we all? Don't we all just love to just stare out into the abyss and just think about our faves for like undisclosed amounts of time instead of writing them.
Exactly.
All right. So for my penultimate question, is there anything you would like to say about Iwa Oi that we have not already covered?
I don't think so. I know that you normally like wrap up your show with like a describe them in a few words or a short sentence.
You're the only one who is prepared for this.
I do my research. What can I say?
Hell yeah.
But I would say that they are kind of like the ultimate friends to lovers trope. And like what I mean by that, before everybody's like, what do you mean? Like they fit so many different things. Like you just said that. I think that it's like more of, you know, they always have that like friendship to fall back on no matter what you put them through. They already have that connection. And so anything past that, you know, romantic relationship is just building on that friendship that exists already. And it just creates an even deeper bond. So I think that's really special.
Hell to the yeah. I love that. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Shay, for coming on the show. Now's the time where you get to plug your stuff. So where can we find you? You got any projects coming up?
Right. Well, you guys can find me as Pretty Setters on both TikTok and AO3. I also have a Twitter, but I'm not great at using Twitter. But I post my Boku Aka band AU and soon to be Iwa Oi prequel band AU updates every Sunday, and the new fic that I will have coming out very soon, which I have not named yet, and I probably won't name until about 20 seconds before I go to post it, will be posted every Friday. So if you guys want to go check those out, by the time that this episode comes out, they will both be out there.
Hell yeah. And if you like what you heard on this show, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. We have a shit ton of episodes about Haikyuu boys, sports anime boys, all the boys you could think about. They're there. Boys, boys, boys in our backlog. And we're on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are available. We're probably there. If you want to further support us, you can mosey on over to Patreon and become a patron, where you can hear our bonus shows, Expedition Omegaverse and What's the Tea, which are, again, Patreon exclusive. We have a Twitter and a TikTok if you are interested in fandom positivity, memes, writer tips, clips of the show, whatever, it's there. We are at The One True Pod on Twitter and TikTok. And if you want to be a guest on the show, you can slide into our DMs or you can send us an email at theonetruepod@gmail.com. One more time, thank you, Shay, for coming on the show, and I'll see you next week. Bye! One True Podcast is made possible in part by the generous support of our patrons: Earl Grey_MT, Linky, Slumber, Brittany Horth, Carla Rodriguez, AO3_Faints, Emily Rowe, Blessin, Co, Lena, Kennedy, Angie, and Lauren. Thank you again for your support.